Beneath peace hopes still in doubt, President Carter decides to strengthen civil defense. Iran reported fairly calm. Winter storm moving into plain states. Good morning, this is Neil Strauser with the CBS World News Roundup, substituting this week for Dallas Townsend. Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin flew home this morning saying that problems still remain, despite intensive U.S. efforts this weekend to arrange a compromise on a peace treaty with Egypt. Secretary of State Vance met into Sunday morning with Israel's Foreign Minister Dayan. President Carter got on the telephone, and Vance flew last night to talk to Begin as he changed planes at New York's Kennedy Airport. But afterward, Vance seemed to indicate that the peace hopes are still just hopes.
I believe that a peace can be achieved between the parties. I believe that they both sincerely want peace. I believe the peoples of both their nations want peace. That being the case, I believe that peace can be achieved.
More from Bernard Kalb.
Those remarks by Vance were not volunteered. They came only in response to a reporter's question about whether the secretary had doubts about achieving a peace treaty. And the question was prompted by Vance's opening remarks to journalists following his more than two-hour talk with Prime Minister Begin, that he, Vance, could not make any prediction at this time about whether the outstanding issues could be resolved. In other words, the outspoken caution of a lawyer turned diplomat. Otherwise, there was no hint as to just how successful Vance was in trying to persuade Begin to accept a new U.S. compromise aimed at overcoming a key obstacle blocking an Egyptian-Israeli peace agreement, the obstacle of linkage, tying that agreement to a broader Middle East settlement. Begin himself was noncommittal. It was obvious, though, that his cabinet would now focus on the compromise. Egypt would be doing the same thing, so that the next few days could determine whether there's continuing deadlock or a new surge toward the actual attainment of that still elusive peace treaty. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, New York.
Overnight, U.S. officials have confirmed a decision by President Carter to double approximately U.S. spending for civil defense over the next 5 years. The officials say that the Russian program to protect civilians against nuclear attack is far more advanced and could give the Soviets an advantage in case of an international crisis. But from Moscow, Bernard Redmont reports another view of the Soviet program.
One area where a Soviet military buildup is not visible is in civil defense. The Kremlin civil defense chief, General Alexander Altunin, said earlier this year that the country was being forced to strengthen measures to protect the population against attack. At the time, he rejected Western assertions that this upset the strategic balance. The Soviets have some bomb shelters, as well as plans for evacuation of major cities and dispersion of industries in case of attack. But whatever the Russians are spending in civil defense, it isn't evident. Foreign military attachés who travel around the country have never seen any evidence of a major network of bomb shelters. There are no signs here indicating shelter locations. There are no tests, not even for sirens. The average Muscovite seems to have no idea where to go in case of an alert. Western military experts here say that a successful civil defense program would need both practice and publicity, but the Soviet system has neither, and Westerners don't think the Russians have enough faith in their civil defense system to try a nuclear first strike. Bernard Redmont, CBS News, Moscow.
The U.S. plan, according to officials, would concentrate mainly on better methods of evacuating U.S. cities, so that around two-thirds of the population, at least, could survive an all-out nuclear war if there were some advance warning.
4 minutes after 8, and this message, Abraham and Strauss is announcing the great clothing sale going on right now in the men's store at A&S. If you go in, you can save on a great collection of suits and sport coats and slacks from some of the most famous names in men's fashion. You'll save on classic vested suits from two prestigious American designers. You can choose 100% wool or wool blends in pinstripes, flannels, and herringbones and solids. Originally $225 to $240, now they're A&S sale priced at $170. And you can save on an impressive collection of French designer suits in all wool or wool blends. Originally $195, right now at A&S they are just $150. And that's just for starters. A&S Men's Store has a fabulous selection of sale-priced famous maker suits and sport coats and slacks, and they're just waiting there for you to go in and choose. So go on in during the great clothing sale that's happening now in the Men's Store at Abraham and Strauss. 5 minutes after 8.
The government of Iran appears to be having some success with its back-to-work ultimatum in the Iranian oil fields. The National Iranian Oil Company says about 50% of the strikers have returned to work and oil production is up substantially. And the government may be winning the battle of the streets in Tehran. Some strikes continue there, but no violence is reported. The United Nations Security Council turns again today to the future of the former territory of Southwest Africa. Richard C. Hotland reports.
The Security Council meets this morning in a crisis of confidence between the African states and the Western powers. It expects to vote on a draft resolution which the Western nations oppose but feel they cannot veto. The draft asks South Africa to cancel its own elections in Namibia 3 weeks from today and to cooperate instead with the UN plan for Namibian independence. If South Africa fails to comply, the Security Council would initiate appropriate action, including mandatory sanctions. The West has argued that South Africa has been non-committal, but has not repudiated the UN plan, and that this kind of threat might back it into a corner. The African countries bitterly criticize the Western Five for what they call a tendency to appease South Africa instead of pushing ahead with the UN plan. Western diplomats explain privately that their parliaments need clear proof of South Africa's obstruction before they will approve something so drastic as compulsory sanctions. The Africans reply that Pretoria is too clever to give the West the evidence of the smoking gun. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
In Japan, some success apparently for new efforts to close the dollar gap in trade with the United States. Bruce Dunning has the latest from Tokyo.
Japanese corporations are showing substantially more interest in purchasing American manufactured products, a development that could lead to some improvement in the lopsided trade balance between the U.S. and Japan. One American official here cautiously says that the outlook for more U.S. sales to Japan looks now, quote, better than we expected it would be. Japan has been heavily criticized for keeping its markets closed to foreign-made goods. Japan's number two auto builder has just signed a $1 million parts order with the American firm Uniroyal, and other auto builders are involved in discussions with more than 20 other American suppliers. Japanese officials report substantial increases in imports of a variety of American-made goods. The dollar's losses against the yen make American goods cheaper and so more attractive in this country. Japanese exports to the United States are beginning to decline because of the dollar's loss in value. In less than 2 years, Japanese auto builders have had to increase their prices 8 different times to keep pace with the falling value, and the two top auto builders report sharp losses on exports for the past 2 months. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
Again today, President Carter saved the dollar effort appears to be having some effect, the dollar again gaining slightly in terms of the Japanese yen.
Do you know me? I'm Eugene Lamour. In a city that never sleeps, there is only one French restaurant always awake, La Brasserie at 53rd and Lex. Enjoy our complete menu 24 hours a day. Eggs Benedict at 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. The steak en bourgeois, noon or midnight. After the curtain falls, some like chocolate ice cream. After watching the sunrise, some like chocolate mousse. 24 hours a day, there is La Brasserie. Come and bring the American Express card. Don't leave home without it.
On the trains, Long Island Railroad 723 from Ronkonkoma, half an hour late. Conrail 620 from Bayhead Junction, 10 minutes behind. Signal problems. 610 from Bayhead Junction also, 10 minutes late. The 633 from Poughkeepsie is 20 minutes late. Long Island Railroad now has up to 10-minute delays on trains into Penn Station. They had a problem earlier with something under the tunnel, a fire on a work train. It's going to be a cloudy, breezy, chilly day. The high only near 50 degrees and more tomorrow. 44 degrees Fahrenheit in New York, 9 after 8.
Seldom does national attention go to an election for a state representative. But this time, the state is big and the political implications large also. We hear more from Gary Shepard in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
It's a present-day version of the Battle of Gettysburg, except this time it's the Republicans against the Democrats. The Adams County Election Board begins a recount this morning of the more than 17,000 ballots cast in Pennsylvania's 91st legislative district. The reason it's being done is that both Republican Donald Mowell and Democratic incumbent Kenneth Cole wound up within 50 votes of each other on the unofficial tally sheet, and there are a number of apparent mistakes. The outcome of this contest for the Pennsylvania House of Representatives is crucial because both the Republicans and Democrats won exactly the same number of seats in last Tuesday's election, 101 apiece. The winner of this race will determine which party controls the House with a majority of a single vote. The majority party not only elects the House Speaker and controls all the committees and patronage jobs, but it's also responsible for redistricting the entire state for the 1980 congressional elections. Election officials say it may be several days before the recount is finished and the winner is announced. Gary Shepard, CBS News, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
That winter storm that kept dumping heavy snows on the Rockies over the weekend is now moving into the Plain States. Snow predicted in a number of areas there, too, but rain appears more likely as the weather system moves into the Midwest later today.
Are you a doctor? How would you like a news magazine designed just for you? Well, McGraw-Hill has done just that with Medical World News to keep you up to date professionally. It brings you accurate, quickly read reports on the latest developments in diagnostic and therapeutic techniques, devices and drugs, practice finances, and government regulations. For example, did you know you might be fined or jailed if you fail to pass on a new FDA warning to your patient about the antihypertensive drug that may be the key to heroin and methadone addiction? That the American Academy of Pediatrics has fully endorsed breastfeeding? A huge Chicago study has reconfirmed the link between excess weight and high blood pressure. The alarming rise in endometrial cancer has been reversed. How a five-minute cardiology test can help some types of cancer therapy. The latest in the debate over the medical effects of hair dye. The full story of the antiviral agents amantadine and rimantadine. You'll find all this and much more in the latest issue of Medical World News. Take a look when you reach your office at the Doctor's Medical Updater, Medical World News.
Shortly after midnight, the National Space Agency sent another satellite into orbit from Cape Canaveral. This one, a spy-on-the-sky satellite, so to speak. Its purpose, to try to solve the mysteries of our universe. Spencer Allen has more from Cocoa Beach.
Space scientists say they are pleased with the successful orbit of the satellite HEO-2. It's a highly complex spacecraft carrying an X-ray telescope and other instruments. These will probe the origins and meanings of intense levels of energy radiated throughout the universe. Although space astronomers knew these strange sources of radiation existed, they could not examine them from Earth because of the filtering effect of the atmosphere. Scientists of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration say they hope now to better understand how the stars and galaxies of the universe were first formed and how they might die, including Earth. Spencer Allen for CBS News, Cocoa Beach, Florida.
Medical scientists are gathering in Atlanta today to try to solve an earthly mystery, how to cure Legionnaire's disease, which has claimed dozens of lives since it was first discovered in 1976. Researchers have isolated the bacterium, but say it is unlike any other.
Take this product identification test. If you wanted an ice-cold cola, what would you ask for? Or if you wanted the standard pain reliever, what would you buy? Sometimes a product becomes so well-known that people identify it with an entire industry. It's the same in the Service Bureau industry. Our name is the Service Bureau Company. We're the genuine article, the first, the innovators. We're a division of Control Data Corporation. At the Service Bureau Company, we provide a comprehensive range of computer services for thousands of different businesses, including more than 600 of the Fortune 1000, and also 4,500 companies with annual sales up to $50 million. So if you need computer help in weeks, not months, call the Service Bureau Company. We gave our name to the entire industry.
14 minutes after 8 in the morning on Monday at WCBS News Radio 88, a blustery, raw, cloudy day, the high only near 50 degrees Fahrenheit. It is 44 Fahrenheit, 7 Celsius at the Weather Center in Midtown Manhattan. 9 o'clock.
CBS News. Prime Minister Begin arrives in Israel, downplaying reports of a stalemate in the Mideast peace talks. I'm Steve Young, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Begin met for 2 hours late Sunday with Secretary of State Cyrus Vance prior to his departure for Israel. Vance presented a compromise proposal on the issue of linkage between a peace treaty and Palestinian self-determination on the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip. Begin said this morning upon his arrival in Israel that the continuing disagreements in the talks do not constitute a stalemate.
It's quite natural that from time to time during the negotiation period, come up problems and we deal with them. I don't think there is anything special in this phenomenon of problems coming up during the very process of negotiations.
Begin now presents the American compromise to his cabinet. Formal talks between the Egyptian and Israeli negotiators resumed today in Washington. More after this.
This is Steve Allen with a call to action for all cost-conscious businessmen and women who are less than satisfied with the quality of the printing they're getting. Ladies and gentlemen, take it from me. PIP, Postal Instant Press, will deliver the kind of professional printing you and your customers demand. That's neither a boast nor a claim. It's a fact of life. PIP professional printers use offset printing presses to deliver printed copies that are identical to your original. Their printers are dependable, they meet their deadlines, they offer prices to fit the tightest budget. Whatever type of printing job you want, from 10 to 10,000 printed copies, depend on PIP to deliver at a price you can afford. Look for PIP where you see the red, white, and blue sign that says Postal Instant Press.
For quality printing, here's a tip. Always rely on your nearby PIP. They'll print it fast while you wait. Take it to PIP. The printing is great.
You'll find the PIP Professional Instant Printer nearest you in the yellow pages under printers. That's PIP, Postal Instant Press.
The White House says President Carter will propose an upgraded civil defense program to Congress next year. The plan would cost $2 billion over 5 years and is designed to evacuate up to 140 million people from American cities in the event of a national emergency. The Canadian embassy in Beirut says a 24-year-old Lebanese man has been deported from Ontario and is now in Lebanese police custody in connection with the 1976 murder of U.S. Ambassador Francis Molloy. Molloy, an aide and his chauffeur, were kidnapped and murdered June 16, 1976, while trying to cross from the Muslim to Christian sections of Beirut. The government-owned National Iranian Oil Company says half its workers are now complying with the government ultimatum to end their strike or lose their jobs. A call for a one-day general strike in Tehran largely failed Sunday. CBS News correspondent Don Kladstrup was asked to describe the mood in the capital today.
Right now, Tehran is very quiet. Quiet, that is, in terms of demonstrations or any unrest. The city seems pretty much back to normal. Soldiers are still out keeping guard with their guns and tanks at various points around the city. But most people here are simply going to work, going about their daily business as if the soldiers weren't even there.
CBS News correspondent Don Klatstrup in Tehran. Some violent incidents were reported in outlying areas of Iran over the weekend. The government news agency put the weekend death toll at 20. One truck was hit by gunfire and four others were hit by bricks dropped from overpasses in Pennsylvania this morning as the strike by the Fraternal Association of Steel Haulers, FASH, went into its third day. The Pennsylvania Highway Patrol says there were no injuries in any of the incidents. A three-day symposium on Legionnaires' disease opens today at the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. Cambodia is accusing Vietnam of launching poison gas attacks upon their common border and charges the Vietnamese with attempting genocide. In Malaysia, Navy engineers are trying to repair the engine of an anchored freighter holding 2,500 ethnic Chinese refugees from Vietnam. The ship is being guarded by Malaysian Marines. More CBS News after this.
Sears flannel shirts and two-gale commits, especially out of fries like this.
Right now, these Permapress plaid flannel shirts are just $6.39 each. They're regularly $7.99, so you get a writer's ring 20% savings. Big guys save 20% too, because tall size shirts are now just $7.99. This flannel shirt sale ends November 18th, so for prime picking, you best be off to Sears. Available in most Sears men's stores. Prices and dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
I'm chewing gum again. Big deal? It is to me. I had to give up gum because it stuck to my dental work. But with Freedent Gum from Wrigley's, I can enjoy chewing gum again. It doesn't stick. Fact is, until I found Freedent, I'd forgotten how fresh and clean my mouth and breath could feel anytime. Freedent in peppermint and spearmint. You'll like it.
Feel free to chew Freedent.
It won't stick to most dental work.
Freedent Gum.
The House Assassinations Committee today resumes its hearing into James Earl Ray's speedy flight from the United States to Britain following the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Chief Committee Counsel Robert Blakey Friday noted that Ray's earlier criminal undertakings had been markedly inept, while his actions following the assassination showed cunning and resourcefulness. Blakey also wants to examine the source of the estimated $9,000 spent by Ray following his escape from the Missouri State Penitentiary. This is Steve Young, CBS News.
At WCBS News Radio 88, it is 6 minutes after 9 on the rawest Monday of this month. And so far, this week. Monday, the 13th day of November, considerably cloudy, breezy, and chilly day. The high only near 50 degrees, a cold and clammy feeling. Manhattan temperature is 44 Fahrenheit, 7 Celsius. Humidity, 72%. North winds, about 5 or 6 miles an hour. The barometer is rising slowly at 30.50. Bob Harris says cloudy and damp tonight, perhaps a shower, fog after midnight. Tuesday, variably cloudy, a little milder, 55 to 60.